Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. We all belong to the team of us.
So, we are gap week over, closing in on round three of the Six Nations. France-Italy is on Friday night, and then Saturday is a very appetising double bill, starting with Ireland-Wales, 2:15, and then 4:45, I think, or is it slightly later?
4:45 sounds right, go with that.
I think it'll even be 5. Anyway, after Ireland-Wales, Rory O'Connor of the Irish Independent here in studio, it is Scotland, England at Murrayfield. So a really interesting weekend ahead. And Eddie O'Sullivan is on the line as well. Evening, Eddie.
Evening, Joe.
So I saw, actually, just to deal with the weekend that was, I saw the Scarlets coach, Wayne Pivac, making the point that he's not so sure the Pro 14 should be putting on a game like Leinster Scarlets during the Six Nations window, which is something I must say I thought myself there. Yeah. The main suppliers to both international sides, I think you had the point in the paper today, Rory, 23 frontliners were missing. And he said, personally, I'm a bit disappointed we played Leinster twice in this window last year and that we're playing them twice again this year. I would have thought that the two of the teams from last year who probably played some of the most attractive rugby, scored some of the best tries and were there at the end of the season, don't get to play at full strength. It is a pity, all right? I mean, it does seem like one of the marquee fixtures in that group. And I know it's all very congested and we moan when the Interpros have rested teams, but 23 frontliners missing from what could be one of the games of the Pro 14 season is, I think if it can be avoided, let's avoid it.
I think so. And I think Pro 14, from, you know, I spoke to them a little bit just about Pivac's comments to give them a kind of right or reply or whatever. And I think they're generally on the same page with that. I mean, they acknowledge that it's not ideal. I think they had to rush their fixture list out a little bit this year with the introduction of the South African teams and the rejigging of the whole thing into conferences. And I think it is best avoided. It's unfortunate, you know, it denuded the fixture, even though it was a decent, certainly the first half was a decent game, lit up by James Lowe. But to have them meeting twice either side of an Ireland-Wales game when they are bulk suppliers is unfortunate. I suppose it's a level playing field for the two of them to a degree because they are neck and neck at the top of the conference. But it just feeds into the Pro 14 having that place on the chart, and it takes away from, yeah, it should be a game we'd all be promoting in April or at a different time of the year. But instead, even when we're watching that game, we're watching it through the prism of the Six Nations. So I think Wayne Pivac has a point, and I think that point is probably acknowledged within the corridors of power.
Okay, well, that's fair enough then. So Wales are coming to town, Eddie, and as Joe Schmidt has to weigh up what to do in the centre of his back line, Wales are coming with Dan Biggar, Faletau, Lee Halfpenny, all giving the all clear. George North played for Northampton at the weekend. Liam Williams scored the only try for Saracens against Sale at the weekend. So suddenly Wales, after I guess a tough enough couple of opening weeks on the injury front, arrive in Dublin feeling much better about life, just in time.
Yeah, it seems to be kind of the piece of the jigsaw falling into place for them. I think they'll be disappointed about losing in Twickenham. TMO mistake apart, I think they felt they'd probably got enough opportunities to sneak away with that game. So I think they know as well, like, obviously if they lose on Saturday, it's curtains for the championship. That's all, it's done and dusted. So they will come with kind of a sense of last chance saloon in that respect. They've got guys coming back, and they'll fancy their chance against Ireland. You know, they drew in Dublin 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think they'll feel that they have a lot to prove. You know, they've been kind of written off to start the championship because there's so many injuries. You know, there's so many frontliners missing. People didn't think, but I think they're probably in a good place mentally. Bit of a point to prove, bit of a chip on the shoulder after Twickenham. All the things that you'd like to put in your locker for an away game where you're not favourites, which surprised me that I think, you know. I saw a spread somewhere that was like something like 12 or 15 points for Ireland, but I just thought that was a bit weird. You know, I think it'd be an awful tight game, but I think Wales are in a pretty good place, and they're, you know, a set of chip on the shoulder and something to prove. That's always a potent combination.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've every reason to be confident, Rory, but Ireland's sole win over Warren Gatland's Wales in their past five attempts was a 2015 World Cup warm-up, and our last Six Nations win was in 2014. People might remember that game because, for whatever reason, that was a season where nobody could deal with Ireland's maul, and they just repeatedly mauled over for tries, and it seemed like teams were powerless.
Boy days.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, you know, that was a time when the Aviva was standing up saying, maul, you know, we were all experts in what was going on there. So that was 2014. So actually, you know, Wales will be looking at Ireland thinking there's no psychological hang-ups here.
No, absolutely. And that spread, I have seen it, and you know, it does surprise me. You know, they're not normally far off, but I don't think they're on the money with that. Right. You know, that injury bulletin today did come through WRU TV, and I would wonder whether they're all you know, as fit as they're being, you know, they're being touted. I'd say maybe Bigger and Faletau, you know, that's ahead of the schedule we were led to believe they were on. They haven't played any rugby,
yeah.
And I would probably be surprised to see them starting anyway. But yeah, they're in a really good position to have lost as many as they did, and still, you know, pick up 6 points from those two games. Mm-hmm. I think is a pretty good return. Gatland has absolutely no fear of playing against Joe Schmidt teams. As a coach, he's probably caused Joe Schmidt more problems, or his coaching ticket has caused as many problems for Ireland as anyone. You know, they did come to Dublin. Ireland's record in Dublin is pretty outstanding, and the one game they didn't win in the Six Nations was that draw 2 years ago against Wales in the first game, when they were at a particularly low ebb after the World Cup. So Cardiff has been very difficult for place for Ireland to go under Joe. I think, you know, Dublin's a pretty difficult place for Wales to go, and Ireland probably should have won that game 2 years ago. So back on home soil, I think Ireland will be reasonably confident, but I think they'll be very wary. It's Scotland's 100th test for Wales as well, and there's been a big deal made of that over in Wales. You know, the players will probably want to perform for him as well, whatever that, you know, what that actually means on the day, you don't know. But, you know, there's something dangerous about this fixture. And yeah, I would be quite concerned about it.
Yeah, I kind of share that at the moment. Eddie, I think we're all suddenly, as the reality of it comes into focus. I mean, we got so caught up in the overall picture and let's get through Paris and then there's Italy and then suddenly Twickenham will be right on the horizon. It was possible to overlook, you know, Wales, Scotland at home, they'll be fine. And maybe we still feel pretty good. But Wales at home in particular, it suddenly feels like a tricky enough prospect.
Could be the trickiest one at the end of the day for us. And this bit of a problem for us is we actually don't know where we are exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're 2 from 2, which we said before the championship ball was kicked off. Yeah, we'd be 2 from 2. But the problem with Paris was that we got out of jail a bit, so, you know, there's not a load to take out of Paris in terms of what did we get done, except we won the game, and that was probably the most important thing, to be honest. But there wasn't much else to take out of Paris. And then Italy, the problem with Italy is you're going to win comfortably, see, you don't have any kind of metric to go on, so yeah. This is where the championship really kicks off.
Yeah,
you know, the next 3 games define our championship. We're 2 from 2, we said we'd be 2 from 2, so in that sense there's some unknowns for Ireland, you know. How do we want to play Wales? How do we want to stack up against them? You know, what kind of, we've got our selection issues in the middle of the field. So a couple of tough decisions in the pack. Who starts at loose head? Who starts in the second row? And I think the back row won't change really, given the injury profiles and stuff. But having said that, yeah, this is one I always had it in the back of my head that if Wales kind of delivered any sort of performance in the first 2 matches, they'd be dangerous. And I suppose they'll come into town thinking if they can play like they played against Scotland, they'll have us in all sorts of trouble. Now, we'd be foolish to let them do that, but I think that's their plan.
Mm. Peter O'Mahony was speaking to the media today. What was the gist of what he was saying, Rory?
He didn't say a lot, Peter. You know the rules of engagement when you go into a press conference with Peter. He keeps his card close to his chest and he sticks quite close to the message. Quietly confident, lots to work on. You know, we didn't learn an awful lot today. He was probably a little bit better in the newspapers when he talked about himself and his own injury problems. But if you tried to get him on his own lines, disappointment, or he was asked to compare Warren Gatland and Joe Schmidt, and he said, I'm not here to compare coaches. They're different. But as I said, I'm not here to compare coaches. So that was the kind of wall he put up. And that's his prerogative to draft. So fair play to him. No, I think if you're putting up Peter on a Monday, you're setting out the message that this is a serious week, that we're all business, and that's the message he conveys.
So is Peter, I mean, if Sean O'Brien might be, admittedly he's injured, but if from a Irish press officer point of view, Sean O'Brien might be liable to sell a few more tickets, kind of a weak press conference. Peter O'Mahony, weak press conference is, let's not say anything which can cause any kind of tension or ramp up the build-up.
He's very concise in his message. And like, he's not a bad talker, and he certainly, you know, when he speaks, you know, he's obviously a leader in the camp, so behind the scenes when he speaks, he listens, but he wasn't giving much away. Yeah. I think the big thing is tomorrow, whether Furlong trains. I think that's the big concern. You know, the briefings have all been quite positive about him, but Joe did say that he was more concerned about him than Ian Henderson or James Ryan last week. I think there is more concern there than we probably realise about Tadhg Furlong. At 2 weeks, it's a very tight turnaround for a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
And you know, having already lost Robbie Henshaw and having a very, I think it's the most inexperienced centre partnership will Ireland will ever have fielded in a Six Nations match.
Yeah.
If Ireland were to then lose Tadhg Furlong and either start with John Ryan or Andrew Porter, it very much changes the way that the whole thing is set up. And,
yeah.
and I think that spread, that is one kind of bit of injury news. And tomorrow's the day. It's always Tuesday. If you train on Tuesday, you're picked. They might wait a bit longer for Tadhg Furlong, but I think they'll need to get a scrum under his belt at least just to test that hamstring out.
I was going to say, Eddie, and your experience is, because I saw Eddie O'Sullivan made the point in Athlone last week that Furlong was running at 70% and was changing direction. Is actually the scrum the bigger issue, or will it still be sprinting?
Still sprinting for a hamstring.
Okay.
But having said that, you know, injuries tend to heal exponentially, like in the sense that there's a lot of improvement in the early days. And then you get, it's like the last 10% takes longer to get, you know, get everything sorted. So 70% is great, but it's the next 30% of the problem with a hamstring injury. And, like, you need to be able to sprint flat out in a hamstring. You can't carry a hamstring through a game, not at an international level, not at this level. The thing that worried me about Furlong when he went off is that he pulled up with the injury, and it was severe enough that he limped off. And my experience, like, if you have a grade one hamstring, sort of twinge, it's, you know, probably 10 days with the quality of physio we have now, maybe 7 to 10 days for a grade one. You don't limp with a grade one, in my experience. Like, it's probably a little worse than a grade one. It could be bordering on a grade two. And that's a hell of a challenge to get done in 2 weeks, you know. He'd be right on the bubble, I think.
Okay.
And I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't make it. Now, we're all keeping our fingers crossed on that one, but I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't quite make it. I remember when O'Driscoll missed Croke Park, the first game of Croke Park in 07 against France.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the bubble, but the day before, the Friday before, Gary O'Driscoll, the doctor said, like, he's 95%, 98%, but that's not good enough for a test game, and that's the risk. And then if you go in on it and you're compromised and it does go, you could be talking about a serious setback. So it's playing with dynamite in those situations. But look, they seem to be confident, but I hope their confidence comes through, you know.
Yeah. John Cooney's coming to the squad. Luke McGrath, unfortunately, injured over the weekend for Leinster. And then Eddie mentioned the centre situation. So Gary Ringrose has joined up with the squad, and obviously Chris Farrell is in pole position, it seems. And I mean, do we get the feeling, Rory, that they're looking very seriously at Ringrose here?
No, Gary Ringrose is in the squad, but he trained with Leinster today and didn't train with Ireland, as far as I'm aware.
That's not very seriously at all.
I think he came in tonight and may train with them tomorrow to get a sense of what they're doing. But I would be very surprised. I'm pretty sure he's going to play for Leinster against the Southern Kings on Friday, which will feed nicely into the Scarlets game next week, which will be a natural step up. And then I think they'll be looking at Gary Ringrose playing against Scotland. In 2 weeks' time,
okay.
Unless Chris Farrell has a stormer and, you know, makes a very convincing case for himself. But
yeah
I think, I mean, there has to be said that Gary Ringrose hasn't had a great season. His form wasn't that compelling before he got a second injury. So he's come back from that shoulder injury. He's now had a bit of ankle surgery with syndesmosis, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, in between that, he was pretty guilty of a few defensive errors. I think he was finding his feet. He's had quite a disrupted season, so I think they need him to show some form as well. I think people are kind of maybe going on Gary Ringrose's form of last year, whereas you know, like, we all see the quality that he has, but I wonder whether Joe needs him to see something against the Scarlets the week after this to force his way in, because I think he's probably a better player than Farrell at full tilt, but we haven't seen him at full tilt.
Eddie, with your head coach hat on, what are you expecting from Wales based on what you've seen in the opening two rounds? And I appreciate their starting 15 could change reasonably dramatically, and that is a big consideration. And how are Ireland most likely to try and counteract that? And then, just to throw more complication on everything, I mean, I'm not entirely sure what the weather is going to be like either. So,
sure.
I mean, being a head coach ain't easy.
No, I think what Wales will try and do is they'll try and replicate what they did to Scotland. They'll try and keep the ball in hand, get on the front foot, get some width on the game, keep the tempo high. Wales have always been comfortable with a high tempo game because their skill set's very good. Now, I mean, like, I suppose you look at the way Scotland played against them and defended against them, you know, it was just complete negligence on their part, the way they played. But I don't think Ireland are going to do that. There's no way we're going to be sucked into that game. So, but the trick is, can we take that game away from Wales? And that will mean a lot of playing possession and territory. And if we go wide against Wales, we need to be sure it's a good time to go there, because if we turn over ball out wide, you know, they're quite happy to run back at you. They won't be uncomfortable in Dublin. All the Wales players, they're happy to come to Dublin and play. They won't be intimidated. They'd prefer to have us in Cardiff, no doubt. But so I think they'll just try and replicate the game they had against Scotland. I don't think they expect to get the same latitude,
yeah.
But they don't have to. Like, if they nick a couple of tries and they defend like the defenders in Twickenham, that could be the game right there. And we've got to control the pace of the game. We've got to control the field position. So I don't see us throwing the ball around very much. I think it's been very direct and putting the ball in behind them at every chance and making sure we get our kick chase in place and play a bit of ping pong if we have to. And the other thing is, the contestables we kick have to be really on the money, because if Williams and Halfpenny come into the back three, like, they're not going to be afraid of those up and unders. They'll gobble them up, you know. Mm. I mean, George North might be a little more suspect under him. And you may find him, if he starts, you know, getting more of an area of bombardment. But all in all, we have to be very precise on the weekend, and it'll be about controlling the pace of the game. If we play the game that's played at the pace we want, I think we'll win. If it gets played at the pace of Wales want, they could probably win the game on that alone.
So this for me then, when we talk next Monday, say Ireland win the game, this is an important conversation to remember, where you're talking about things like territory and controlling the game and precision. Yeah. When I'm asking you, could we not be a bit more creative?
Well, being creative doesn't mean you can't be precise.
That's sure, but I'm anticipating a lot of kicking based on what you're saying, and not throwing the ball around much.
Put the right time. You know, it doesn't mean you can't run a really good starter play to get over the game line. It doesn't mean you can't go to the outside channels in your phase play, provided you can resource the rocks out there and there's a good dividend out of it.
Mm.
Like, if you're sloppy and you're kicking, I mean, kicking the ball is just as dangerous against Wales if it's not accurate.
Mm.
They will punish you on a counter-attack as well. The thing that's kind of been biting at me for a couple of weeks is that I think our defence has not been particularly good this championship. And I think three tries against Italy and one against France. Like, my worry is that Italy and France aren't the best attacking teams in the championship. And that's why I think Wales will come and test us. They'll test our defence. They'll really go after us. And I think no one will care on Saturday night if we kind of squeeze the life out of Wales. Like, England tried to do that to them and got it done.
Mm.
That was England's plan. They weren't going to play loose with Wales because they knew the risks in it. And I think we've got to think along the same lines. But it doesn't mean we can't be creative. We can't pass the ball. We just have to be very smart about how we do it and when we do it. And I think, you know, we'd probably not... I expect we won't play a lot in our own half. And that's not a problem.
Yeah.
Like, you have to cut your cloth. You play different teams different ways. Like, I think we started out against France by throwing it wrong, but then we, for whatever reason, maybe it was the weather or whatever thing, we went into it a bit. But against Italy, we were never going to do that. We ran Italy off their feet, which you've always done with them. But I think, again, you have to recalibrate against a team like Wales now. And controlling territory and the pace of the game is probably the most important thing. And I would say one thing about Wales: their defence has been excellent. You know, they really, like, and they're disciplined against England. They had two penalties against England, which is ridiculous. But we're a good defensive side as well, without giving away penalties. But I think it'll be a real arm wrestle. That's my concern. Right. It'll be a real arm wrestle. And when you get into an arm wrestle, it could go either way in a Six Nations game. There's no, you know, the outcome is very much dependent on maybe a refereeing call or something. And
yeah,
that's,
fine
that's the problem.
Yeah. Rory, I want to bring you in on all of that, but just one quick follow-up, Eddie, with the clock ticking. Is there any is there a trend to your concerns over Irish defence? For a long time we were all talking about a certain narrowness post 2015 Argentina, and we saw that in Murrayfield last year. Is there anything kind of which is standing out, or is it just on the face of it you don't like the sound of conceding those three tries?
No, there's a couple of things. There were three things. One was, I thought Italy's first try, like, we just overloaded the short side, which is a fairly basic error. You know, you give out to a club side for doing it, having six defenders on one side of the ruck and being really skinny on the other. And that's what happened to Dan Levy. He got a mismatch, and he didn't help himself by going over the line. So, but that's very fixable. The other thing that struck me was that Italy's try inside our red zone, Italy's green zone, where they just threw two long passes and and the winger scored in the corner. It was, we defended them all, and we collapsed around them all. We had 10 defenders in around them all. And, you know, Rob Kearney came up and in, but the pass still got out to the winger, and Larmour couldn't stop him. Italy scored an identical try against Ireland at the same end of the pitch 2 years ago, you know, and by just, again, we got too narrow close to the line.
Right.
And that's still there. You know, if teams pound us enough in the corner, we tend to collapse in there and leave the far side of the field open. And then there was, you know, I suppose, the kick chase problem where Teddy Thomas scored. That was a quick lineup, but it's still a transition play. And then, obviously, the one against Italy was a replica, except it wasn't Teddy Thomas. It took a few passes from the Italians, you know. So, like, that's, there are things that are systemic problems. And my worry is, and I think they're all fixables, and you can imagine they're working their socks off on it, that teams like Italy and France causing trouble would worry me that there's bigger trouble coming down the pike if we make those mistakes again, because the next three teams down the pike will hurt you more.
There's lots in all of that, Rory. Where do you want to jump in, or what stands out to you?
Well, I think what's one interesting factor is the Lions effect, and the fact that Ireland's defence coach was the Lions defence coach working under Warren Gatland alongside Rob Howley last summer, and was a massive influence in the way the Lions defended and played last summer. Warren Gatland would have observed Andy Farrell on a daily basis. He was really influential, and he would have also observed how the All Blacks narrowed up and went around the corner basically to negate the Lions' line speed. The line speed was the key factor in the Lions drawing the series, and was one of the Lions' main strengths. So I think he would have learned, like, obviously Farrell learned from working with Gatland as well, and they're all learning from each other and picking out little bits. But I think that's definitely got to be a factor. You know, he'll have seen every defence coach, you know, cheats a little, you know, you take a little bit, you go hard on your line speed, so you leave gaps elsewhere. So Gatland will know, have an idea where those gaps are. So that is probably, you know, it's definitely a factor, if not a concern. I think there is certainly, I think Jacob Stockdale has a little bit to prove in terms of his defence. I think we saw that in over Christmas in the Leinster game in particular. And I think, I'm sure that game tape has been reviewed by Wales, and they'll see opportunities. They're very strong in the back three. And they have negated, like, I mean, Eddie talked about the kicking game and the kicking for contestables and things like that. But Wales have dealt very well with Ireland in the air in the last couple of games. Bigger, I know he may not play, but he's been really good. They do that thing of hiding their out half in the backfield, but in his case, he's actually very strong there. Patchell and Gareth Anscombe are both fullbacks as well as out halves, so they're very strong aerially. So They are strong in a lot of areas where Ireland try and exploit weakness. And Ireland have tried taking them on the ground in Cardiff under the roof in the last couple of times, and it hasn't really worked out for them. They've managed to, like, get line breaks, but haven't been able to finish off. And Joe Schmidt has spoken about the Welsh scramble defence and their brilliant capacity to get back and maybe get away with murder a little bit on the deck. He has kind of bemoaned loosely a few of the kind of refereeing decisions that have gone against his team. Like, last year in Cardiff was crazy. If you think back to the, you know, Johnny Sexton went off for HIA, then he went Simbin, Conor Murray stayed on with one wing for 10 minutes when he probably should have come off.
Yeah,
and then Robbie Henshaw got caught offside as they were going over the line. So it was a fairly chaotic match.
Yeah.
But still, you know, Ireland couldn't get over the line, didn't score a try. So, look, there's a lot of factors at play. I think Eddie outlined them really well there. And so there's a lot of reasons to be worried.
are we going for an Ireland win ultimately, lads?
I'm not sure. I'm still on the fence a little bit.
It's silly to say it depends, but it depends on who controls the tempo of the game. And if Ireland control the tempo of the game, I think we'll beat them. We will beat them. It'll be a tight game. But if Wales get to play the way they want to play, and it's the old story, you know, you find out what a team likes doing, you take it away from them. We know what Wales like doing. If we can take that away from them, we'll win the game. And it might be comfortable in the end if we can do it for 80 minutes. It's very hard to do. Usually teams hit a purple patch at some point. But it's all about imposing yourself on the game. I don't know if Ireland will. If they will, we'll win. And that's why it's a hard one to call. Very hard one to call. And that's the reason. If Wales get to play the way they play, I wouldn't be confident we'll beat them. That's simple as that for me.
Coming into the Championship, Joe, there was a lot of talk about other teams were missing a lot of players, and suddenly it's Ireland who are in that position, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like, Robbie Henshaw's a big loss to the midfield. As I said, it's very experienced. Furlong, I think it all rests, maybe, like, not to put too much pressure on him as he goes into his last day of rehab before he trains or whatever, but I think a lot rests on his shoulders and his capacity to make it, because like, John Ryan hasn't been starting for Munster this season, and Porter's really inexperienced, and it's a good Welsh tight five. You know, there's question marks over 2 second rows if Ryan or Henderson don't make it, you're going down into the depths of the depth chart again. And we're all, you know, Ireland are already missing Sean O'Brien, Jamie Heaslip, very experienced players in the back row. And suddenly that youth that, you know, has been a, you know, people are want to see youth over, you know, young players picked, becomes a little bit of a concern. And you know, that's a very experienced, very good Welsh team that are coming over this week. And you know, the closer it gets, the more concerned I'm getting.
Okay. Well, this was a very sobering chat, I think, for all of us in various ways. A last quick point then. So Scotland, I think, are averaging just over 30 points at Murrayfield over the last 2 years or so. England are also 2-for-2 in this competition, along with Ireland, and go there joint top of the Six Nations table. Will they go to Murrayfield and win, lads? Eddie, what do you think?
I think so. I think they'll do what they did to Wales. They'll choke out Scotland. They won't let them play. I think they'll be just... They play a power game. I think Eddie Jones doesn't care how they win, as long as they win and just keep the pot boiling. So I expect that they'll be very direct, very physical. I don't know if Scotland can handle that. I think Scotland will try and play the way they want to play, but I think their big problem is at 10. You know, I just think that they're struggling in that position. And for that reason, I think their control of the game is all over the place. You know, Finn Russell is just...
He does very good things at times, and then other times he boots the ball away and you wonder what he's thinking.
That's exactly right, Joe. That's exactly the problem. Like, he's a boom or bust player. Like, he does something fantastic and then he does something appalling. I mean, I thought he was very poor against France. Like, the number of mistakes he made, but that's your quarterback.
Yeah.
You can't. It's all right for a winger to do that, you know, in a sense. Like, but you get that many touches on the ball in a game as a 10. And it's an adventure every time you get it as to what might happen.
Yeah.
That's not a good strategy.
Yeah.
And I just think he doesn't have the control of the game. And I just think, yeah, you're right, he does something great and then he does something crazy. For me, I think it's very hard for Scotland to consistently perform when you've got their key guy who's all over the place. I've been saying to myself, am I missing something here with this guy? Maybe he's this genius, I don't get it, but... He's still an enigma as far as I'm concerned.
Still not getting it, yeah. What about you, Rory?
Yeah, he's one of those players who's really good in Scotstown when Glasgow are dominating up front, or, you know, again, in Murrayfield, if the Pack are getting on top. He's been, you know, Scotland are down a lot of front rows. There's a couple back this week, but you don't want to be going in against England a couple of front rows.
Not much of a plan B side is often thrown at them as well, and not least when the weather's not good.
Yeah, absolutely. And England are not a team where you want to be bad on the back foot. You know, they're going to put pressure on. Look, yeah, you know, I'm sure Eddie Jones will be ramping up the pressure on Russell this week, and the talk is that his head has been turned a bit because he's going to Racing on Mega Money next year, and you know, he's already starting to think about that. So,
you're really not getting something, Eddie. Eddie, you're gone.
Sorry.
You're really not getting something. Finn Russell going to France on Mega Money.
What about, the line broke there. Sorry, Joe, can you repeat that?
Yeah, we were just joking there. Rory mentioned that Russell is going to France on Mega Money. Yes. I was saying, geez, you're really not getting something then.
Yeah, I think that, I don't think they're getting something. They wouldn't be my top of to sign, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Well, Racing, he's going to have a big pack. He'll be behind, you know, he'll be going forward. He'll have Simon Zeebo, nice Teddy Thomas outside him. Yeah, nice pitch under a roof. Life will be good, you know. I think that's a bit
It'll
different
be exciting,
to having
anyway.
Yeah, it certainly will.
Whatever else, you know.
And so, sorry, Rory. Anyway, you think England ultimately?
Yeah,
will.
I haven't bought the Scottish thing. They're always good in November. Gregor Townsend's a good coach, and obviously Verne Cotter improved them. But I just keep going back to the fact that Warren Gatland didn't pick any of them really for the Lions, and he didn't do. You know, he wasn't cutting off his nose despite his face. He was doing that for a reason, and Twickenham last year was just so horrendous.
But isn't Murrayfield a very different thing with Scotland of all teams?
It is, but you still expect England, Ireland and Wales to go up and win there.
Okay. So this is one of those weekends. This feels like a fairly decisive midpoint in the championship then, based on what you're saying about the games in Dublin and, maybe Scotland pull off a shock. So we'll see. And then obviously France have Italy on Friday night, and I don't even know what French team has been named at this stage.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very different one anyway, given the amount of players that are suspended. And that's a real... If Italy are ever going to win a game, and you know, Marseille on a Friday night in France against the team that... The players who are left must be pretty peeved off with either the coach or their teammates. I can't imagine team spirit is that good.
And do we know, are the suspended dozen or however many are gone, are they gone for the championship, or do we know if they're coming back, or is that up in the air?
I don't know for sure, but I know they're gone for this game anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Depends on what happens next Friday night.
Yeah, the morality might change pretty quickly if things don't go well. Yeah. Okay, lads, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk next week. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Eddie.
Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. We all belong to the team of us. Oh.